like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
I kind of forgot that Magic Johnson was involved with the Washington Commanders, to be honest with you. But he is a limited partner with the Commanders. Pretty harsh. He went after him last night after the Commanders lost by 20 to the Chicago Bears. He tweeted this. The Commanders played with no intensity or fire. We didn't compete in the first half. It was too big of a hole to climb out. And this is why. That is why we ended up losing. I think that's an interesting tweet. I'm not sure if I'm 100% against it. Kind of like owners or part-time owners being a little transparent, but saying your team didn't come out with intensity or fire, that's directly at the coaching staff, isn't it? Gotta be, right?
Sure. I mean, as the owner or part owner, I guess you can kind of say whoever, because you're not really talking up to anybody, so.
Yeah, just good look or bad look? Is this a good look or a bad look? Yeah, you're good with it?
Yeah. I think, you know, obviously with the news yesterday, you know, Chicago kind of had to win that game.
Yeah, yeah. The news they've had all season, you know. I don't know what this means for Chicago, but I think this is a really tough thing to tweet out. Again, I'm not sure if I'm that upset with it, because I think it's kind of refreshing to hear a part owner be mad instead of just giving you the old rhetoric of, you know, we got to be better than that and we'll figure it out.
These ex-players, they can't do much wrong.
A lot of ex-players are pretty vocal these days.
Because they have so many fans that won't say, no, you shouldn't have said that.
Oh, I think you should. Have you read his Twitter? I think you would disagree with what you just said, because there were plenty of people going after him. Well, he's Magic Johnson. He's part owner. He's not just a former player. He's a part owner for the Commanders. So I do think that.
Well, I meant like former players that get into positions of power within sports, and they feel that they can just say whatever they want because, oh, I was a former player.
Yeah.
I know the sport better than you because I played the sport.
But he didn't play that sport.
Well.
Utah quarterback Cam Rising, is he ever coming back? Utah, I thought, was going to be a world beater this year. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. But they get smoked over the weekend against Oregon State, and Cam Rising is still nowhere to be seen, at least in a uniform, playing out there. He has yet to play this season because of the injury he suffered in last season's Rose Bowl. He was on an interview with ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City. He said his injury was more significant than he or the school let on. He said, I wasn't really expecting to do this, but I just want to let everybody know I didn't just tear my ACL. I tore my meniscus, MPFL, and MCL. It was a big surgery, and it's not an easy comeback. I've been working my tail off. This is going to be one of those interesting things, because you want to see where Utah is in about 3 or 4 weeks. If they're not really up in that top 20, top 15 category, do you risk bringing them back, or do you use the, as we talked about yesterday at length, the injury redshirt for a guy like Rising? I might think about that. He said, I'm focusing on continuing to improve. I'm getting closer. I've got to keep making the days count. I'll be back soon as I'm ready to go. And there's not really anyone that can say much besides the best doctor in the world, which is what we have here. Now, you look at Utah's schedule coming up, the remainder of the season, they're home against Cal, but then on the 21st, they're at USC, then home against Oregon. If he's not good to go for that stretch and you end up losing two of those three games, I would imagine Rising doesn't come back. And boy, does that bode well for the Buffs at the end of the season for that opportunity. I mean, they're 4-1 now. They got knocked down to 18. I'd be curious to see how they handle this the next stretch here. Mel Tucker continues to fight with Michigan State. His lawyers sent a 106-page letter that presents new evidence to Michigan State's interim president and board of trustees Thursday morning as the administrative hearing tied to the misconduct allegations against the former Spartans football coach began. The letter, it's again from one of Tucker's attorneys, was released widely to the media, says the woman who brought forth the claim against Tucker that led to his firing, sexual assault awareness speaker Brenda Tracy, appears to have made a career out of misleading and manipulating people. The letter attempts to detail contradictions in the allegations from Tracy, who filed the formal complaint against Tucker with the school's Office of Civil Rights in December of 2022. It says she manipulated a key witness, deleted key evidence, and selectively gave transcripts to the Office of Institutional Equity. I don't know on this case. Now, just knowing a little bit about, you know, knowing some of the things I know, or at least heard about Mel Tucker in Boulder, again, none of that stuff was reported on and 100% factual, but you heard rumblings about the kind of guy that Mel Tucker might be. Unfortunately, when you hear this story and then you followed his time at CU, it doesn't seem like it's that far out of the box for him to do this kind of thing. But then again, I also believe the innocent until proven guilty. Do you think Michigan State acted too quickly and simply just cutting him away? Or did they do the right thing, regardless of how this ends up turning out, to cut the distraction away from Michigan State?
Yeah, I think they did the right thing. I think it's a bit of both, that you did the right thing to get rid of the distraction. But there will be some that say, you know, if it's comes out that none of this is true, then you just fired this guy for no reason.
And it makes you look really bad.
You cave to the social and media pressure.
Oh, it's kind of like the, what was the Johnny Depp thing, right? Disney and the Pirates of the Caribbean basically just wrote him off. Mm-hmm. The Harry Potter movie that he was going to be in, he was in one of them already, and he was going to be in the sequel, and then they recast and got rid of him. And then we had the court hearing, and what's her face? Is it Amber?
Amber Heard.
Just made herself look like an idiot, and ended up, Johnny Depp won the case, and ended up being proven, you know, pretty much innocent of all that stuff. And so that's the part you got to be careful with. Who's the baseball player? Why am I blanking out on the baseball player that was
Trevor Bauer?
Trevor Bauer. Baseball just wrote him off. He was done. Was that 2 years now? Mm-hmm. I mean, because a woman accused him of terrible things, right?
Oh.
And the text messages were found where she said she was, who's my next victim? Found my next victim. I mean, if you read some of those texts, mm-mm, that's creepy crap, dude. That's scary stuff. So again, I'm not saying that that's what's happening at Michigan State, but this is why you got to be careful sometimes when you just go quickly to the firing and believing that person. I don't know who's right, but it is open to having a fair trial here.
Well, wasn't he like suspended at first?
Yeah.
And then he kind of fought that, and then they fired him, and now he's fighting back against
him. Now he's fighting back.
So I feel like the suspension was the precautionary move,
mm-hmm,
to say, hey, let's get this distraction out of the way while we figure it out. Oh, you're going to make this a lot harder for us. We're just going to have to get rid of you.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't willing to just take a suspension. Mm-hmm. And because the smart thing would have been, Mel, there's a lot of heat on this. We have to separate you from the school. We don't want it to be the end, but we need to figure this out. We believe you, but we have to see what happens here. So we're going to suspend you from the team this season. And if Mel fought that and was not going to take that sitting down, then maybe that's why Michigan State acted quickly as far as getting him out of there. Eastside Chris, what do you got from? I'm trying to load these texts. Brady, you are on a tangent regarding an anonymous source, and I disdain backing up CU.
A tangent.
It's not a tangent. It's telling you what I heard. And I'm pretty confident what I heard was correct.
It's another receipt.
It's,
is it a receipt if you don't know who it's from?
I know who it's from, but you guys don't. No. what are you talking about? At a tangent regarding an anonymous source. Yeah. I mean, I got a lot of good people that I trust there in Boulder that have kind of let me know a few things. And again, what Mel Tucker did there, what I've heard, is not illegal activity. It's just, let's just say, wandering eyes. Can we just say that? Can we go with that? And that leads to other things. That's all I'm really going to say on that. I don't think it's a tangent. I think Mel Tucker, the character of that guy, you want to go with what we know? How about him lying to donors the night before he left to go to Michigan State, saying he's not going anywhere and tweeting out that he's not going anywhere? He's a Buff for life. He loves it. And then the next day, he was on a plane to go to Michigan State. There's a lot of people that leave schools and move on and go places. But the way Mel Tucker did it was awful. It was very, it was just dirty, man. He did him dirty the way he did that. He went, don't go to the donors event. You know you're leaving. Don't go to that. So I think if you just want to talk about the factual things about Mel Tucker, the way he left CU tells you a lot about his character. Flying Dutchman. There once was a fellow named Brady whose football picks were quite shady. On Thursdays, he'd choose and often would lose. Let's hope his luck turns less hazy. That's good. That's a Top Text Tuesday type of thing there. Flying Dutchman. Or this, Brady's Thursday NFL picks, oh dear, have been causing him nothing but fear. His predictions are quite a mess, leaving fans in distress. It's a losing streak. That's crystal clear. Love the show. At least love the show. I'll be fine. I'm not stressing it. Thursday night special, we will recover. Stickman. Speaking of Utah, did you see the school gave all scholarship players a brand new truck? Did you see that? I didn't see that. All scholarship players got a brand new truck for Utah? And the school did that? Huh. 18 minutes after the hour, we got Eric Lacroix coming up next, former Colorado Avalanche player.
Yeah, so all scholarship players got a truck from their NIL collective today. The lease ends if they transfer or their eligibility ends.
That's cool. That's their collective.
It was just a lease.
Yeah, they just get to drive that while they're there. Oh, good for them. 18 after the hour. Eric Lacroix coming up next. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
No tricks, only treats when it comes to Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, as he does every Friday, and we're going to be talking all things Colorado Avalanche with this guy. Who better to do that with than Eric Lacroix joining us? Eric, my man, always good to catch up with you, my friend.
My pleasure. Hopefully everything's good down your way because it's perfect down my way.
Yeah, things are good, man. It's a nice, cloudy kind of day, nice and cool weather. Must mean October's here to stay. I love this. This is my favorite sports month, man. Everything's getting rocking and rolling. Football's rolling. And the Colorado Avalanche about ready to turn that page onto the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. I was watching the game last night, and, you know, I think it's the old habits die hard, right? You know, as a player, you're just kind of – you get excited for that first, you know, preseason game because it's like, even for the fans, you know, like you get excited. You're like, all right, hockey's back. And then after about a period, you're like, okay, when is this ending?
When
like,
does this like, count? Yeah.
When is this over with? You know, because that's reality. I mean, it's exciting for some young guys, you know, because they want to be, you know, seen and, you know, show what they can do. And but as a veteran player, it's kind of like, hey, all you need is like – one game, you know, as you saw Makar yesterday, you know what I mean? Like, you, after a few periods, you get your footing and, you know, you feel good about yourself and you're like, all right, I'm good. You know, I'm ready to go. And then some guys maybe, like, we'll take them maybe two games, you know what I mean? But then after that, you're like, all right, I'm good, and let's get this thing going. And, you know, it was exciting to see that it was over last night.
Because now it's done. Now we can move on, and these are meaningful games now. They have meaning to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think as you show, you can't look into it. And I know, like, you go 6-0, you're like, oh, great. You know, we went 6-0. You go 0-6, you say, oh, it's only preseason, you know. So you can't really win anything in preseason because any way you twist it or you look at it, like, you know, you can always look at it on the flip side of things. So I look at it more as a whole. I do believe, like, Georgiev's ready to go. I do believe Anninen is more than a capable backup at this stage of his career. I got a lot of confidence in him. I think he's going to be really good. Obviously, Frankie's great and everything, but he's just not there right now. And who knows how long that's going to be, right? So, and then if you look at it on McKinnon looked really sharp. Makar looked really sharp. Nikushkin looked really sharp, you know. And then the new additions have looked good. You know, from Johansson to Drouin to Colton to Wood, you know, this is a better addition than last year. I think they're more ready. Again, it's always health, you know, driven, right? You got to make sure that they stay healthy like anybody else in the league. But if they are healthy, I mean, I think they're a force to be reckoned with. And I do believe they come out of the West this year and get back to their habit of like 2 years ago and try to get to the summit.
There's a lot. You mentioned a few guys there, too, you know, wondering about injuries and things like that, you know, Frankie and those guys. How about Andrew Cogliano? You think we're going to see him for opening night?
Yeah, I mean, who knows, to be honest with you. Every day you see him here at Family Sports, and he's flying and he's going, and you got Byram, like, yelling at him to take the red jersey off because he's playing, you know, he's just going so hard. I mean, he's a real pro, right? You know, I do believe he's ready to go. Is he going to get cleared, like, technically by Wednesday? Who knows? But if he's not, then he's really right there. I mean, like I said, just by watching practice, I mean, you wouldn't know that this guy had a broken neck or whatever it was, the exact injury that he had. We all know it was a broken neck, but you know what I mean? I'm not a doctor to tell you what it was, but I just feel that he's right there. He's flying. He wouldn't be flying like that and going that hard in practice if there was some restrictions that he wouldn't be able to do stuff. So I do believe it's imminent for him. You know, it might not be the first game, but by that first road trip, I would think that he'll be out there.
Eric, you guys, hockey players, NHL players, you guys are just different dudes, man. I mean, talking about Andrew and that injury coming back, well, it was something like, yeah, the break, two fractures in your neck, and it wasn't even that long ago. So to me, it's like the fact that we're talking about him even coming back at this point or skating the way he is, hockey players are just tough dudes, man. Eric, remind me never to get in a fight with you, okay?
I think it's just it's a mentality, it's a mindset, right?
It is.
You just and you got to be smart about it. And nowadays it's a lot different than back then, too, because you're a lot more aware of, well, first of all, what's at stake. It's a bigger business now than it was 30 40 50 years ago, right? But somewhere, somehow, guys know their bodies. I mean, back then, you used to get to training camp to get into shape. Now you get to training camp, and if you're not in shape, you're in big trouble, right? I mean, it's a different mentality. It's a different mindset, but it's a 12-month-a-year job, and these guys know their bodies. They know a lot more than we did back then, for example, even I, and I'm not that old, but they just know a lot more what's at stake, a lot more on the nutrition, fitness, and, you know, like I mean, every team has a sleep doctor now. I mean, it's just so different, right? And then, but also injuries are a part of it, like you said. You know what I mean? So you just, some guys can pay, you know, can play with some pain tolerance. Some can't. You know what I mean? And that doesn't make them worse than others. It's just that, you know, that's the nature of the beast. And But for Cogliano, I mean, obviously, this guy's a warrior, so it wouldn't surprise me to see him here quickly on this first road trip.
Eric Lacroix joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. What are some of the big questions that you have about this team or things that they need to answer in order to get back? As you're saying, and I think the odds makers are liking the Avs, I think there's a lot of people that are picking the Avs to get right back to it and win another Stanley Cup, win their second one in three seasons or whatever. But what are some of those things on your mind, Eric, when you look at this team saying, all right, I need to see this team do this if they're going to get back and win another Stanley Cup?
Yeah, obviously, a few things to look at. I mean, you mentioned it. Health is, I mean, you can't have the bad luck of injuries that they had last year, and especially after that short summer. So I think if you piled everything into it and compounded it, that's the reason why they missed the playoffs. It's not an excuse, it's a reality, and you're going to say everybody goes through it. No, true, but then some more than others, and the Avs were depleted at times last year. And I think, you know, it was marvelous to see that they did win the division. I think coaching staff was outstanding. Bednar, Prater, and Ray Bennett, those guys were awesome. And Georgiev was awesome. But I think it just took a lot out of them. And by the time the playoffs came around, they were out of juice. And so I do believe the biggest obstacle this year is to make sure that they stay healthy. And obviously, you don't want it to take too long for the new guys to get adjusted and mesh with their new surroundings. I'm talking about the Coltons and, you know, Wood, Tatar. You know, those are awesome players. But you want to make sure that they get with it right away. It doesn't take like 30, 40 games, which I don't think it will. But it's just something to look for. And then obviously everybody talks about the backup goaltending. I do believe, I'm a big Eustis Annan fan. I have been for a few years. I think he's going to be good. He's going to be more than fine. And again, if they feel that there's somebody on the waiver wire here next couple of days, they might look at it and say, hey, what's best for us? Is it to pick up someone on the waiver wire and let Eustis go to Loveland, as he doesn't have to clear waivers? And then he is our number three. And if something happens, you know, he gets more experience these next few months. But we'll see what happens. And as far as like the experts and everything, like, listen, I don't know how, if everyone's healthy, how you bet against them to beat them four times in seven games. I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I'm not being a homer or biased about this Avalanche squad. I do believe C-Mac and company and Joe have done an outstanding job in building this roster for years to come. They are more solid in net than they were 2 years ago. They are deeper. Again, like, you know, they lost Burakovsky and those guys, but now with Wood, Tatar, and you're going to say Kadri at second line center, then, you know, it's all up in the air. That's one of the question marks. Can Ryan Johansson step up to the plate and become that guy that everyone knows he's capable of being and he's done in this league? It's just a matter of getting back to that level of play that he had a few years back, and he's a big boy and a big guy to play second fiddle to McKinnon. So I don't know. I don't know how you bet against them on a seven-game series to come out of the West.
Well, and you mentioned those guys there too, McKinnon and Cale Makar too. I mean, when you have – I mean, that's crazy to me. You have two of the, if not flat-out, the best players in the NHL on your team. So that right there, that's gonna those two guys are going to win you a lot of games.
Yeah, I mean, I always say, you know, I repeat it every day, and whether it's on, you know, shows or to people around town, like, it's not a knock on McKinnon. This guy is arguably, I don't know, top three player in the NHL. But I always say, for me, the most valuable player to a team in the NHL is Cale Makar.
Yeah.
You know, I 30 minutes a night that you control the game because you have a weapon out there that's just, like, unlike any other in the league. And he's so unique and special, and you know, the fact that he's humble, it makes you pull for him even more because he's such a quality individual. And the parents did a good job there with that kid. I mean, this guy is something. I feel that we're lucky in Denver to see day in and day out. Like, I find myself at Family Sports there, the practice facility, just watching him. I just watch him because he's, the next thing you know, it's like he's just like flipping pucks in the bucket. And I'm like, oh my God, did you see that? This guy's amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I just get, you know, I get all giddy, like, watching this guy because it's such a treat. You know what I mean? It's something that you don't see every day. And when you watch it, it's just kind of phenomenal to have someone on steel, right? And that is so graceful out there. His feet, his edge work is just, it's, I don't know, it should be illegal.
No, I mean, it's amazing. And it's so young, too. That's the crazy thing. He has this gigantic career in front of him.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not scared to say it. And sometimes I catch flack for it. You know, I'm not nervous to say that there is a big chance that when it's all said and done, this guy could be the all-time greatest defenseman to ever play the game in the National Hockey League.
Wow. You know what? It's hard to argue based on what we've seen so far. Eric, regular season less than a week away, getting set for Los Angeles next Wednesday night. What's going on with the Colorado Grit, man? I'm excited to get him back home next weekend. Hearing more and more people just pumped about going to these games. It's such an exciting environment.
Absolutely. They had a good weekend last weekend. They got a weekend off this week, and coming back the weekend there of the 13th, 14th against Fort Worth, I believe the Brahmas. So yeah, they're hanging in there. They've had a decent start, actually a very good start for obviously being an expansion team. But they're fun to watch. It's exciting to be at the Ice House. Everybody loves it. The players love it. I actually saw some billet families last night at my youngest's a youth hockey tournament, and you know, it's just funny how it just brings people together, and it's such a fun thing to have for Northern Colorado to have a junior team. So yeah, it's exciting. They're excited to get back there, and you know, if you haven't been there, make sure that you know, people go and see them at the Ice House. It's a fun time, and what better to do it than next weekend?
Yeah, tickets available at ColoradoGritHockey.com. Eric, my man, always a great honor to have you on the program, talk some hockey with you, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. We'll actually have a regular season game to discuss.
It's going to be fun, and I think it's going to be a hot start for the Avalanche.
All right, man, let's rock and roll. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Eric Lacroix, former Colorado Avalanche, says, Cale Makar, when it's all said and done, could be the best defenseman ever to play the game of hockey. That's coming from a guy that knows his stuff. 37 after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
We got Football Friday coming up at 1 o'clock. A deep dive into CU's game this weekend. Broncos, Jets, Utah State, Colorado State, Wyoming, and Fresno State. That's the big one. That's the one on my, like, we always do the what's more interesting to you this weekend. Fresno State, Wyoming. You got a 4-1 Cowboys team that, with a backup quarterback, went toe-to-toe with Texas a few weeks ago. And then you have Fresno State that's, I think, 23rd now. And I don't know, man. I'm not 100% like, I'm not 100% sold on Fresno State being the best team in the Mountain West. I don't know. That's just where I'm sitting at this stage. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Okay, Angel, we're talking a lot about, I've been talking about the Exorcist thing, the movie. They have gone too far. They have gone way too far. Last night, I'm sitting there watching, was it Western Kentucky or something? Some college football game was on. And I had to get up, go to the bathroom. So I paused the game. Go to the bathroom. And now they have like screensavers when you pause the TV and stuff, you know, when you pause the TV. It's the two little girls back to back, chained down in a chair, tied down in a chair. They're demented and crazy, and they both just look over from the screen, and they just look at, and I walked out of the bathroom, and I'm like, how did it get on this? And it's the pause screen. Dude, that is too much. It was freaky as hell, and they're just sitting there. So if I pause that, my kids sit right next to me. I pause it when I see a bad trailer or a bad movie, scary, or whatever, that's going to mess with him. So I'll pause it on, like, just a scene where there's not a freaky person in front of it, and then I'll wait and wait and wait, and then I'll just fast forward through it real quickly. Now I'm pausing it, and the demons are up there, and your face is a screensaver. There's got to be something we can do about this. Like, that is jacked up. I'm sorry. That's beyond. That's crossed the line. Huh?
You got to go see it.
No, hell no.
telling you, you got to go see the movie.
I just think, like, how is this FCC appropriate?
It's not explicitly gory or explicitly evil.
I don't know, man.
They're not saying anything or showing any.
They're sitting there in chairs, tied down, blood dripping from their face, all cracked up, and they're creepy looking. I mean, they clearly look like devils. I just, I'm like, okay, the trailers are one thing. I can pause it and try to navigate around that. But now you've paused it to the point where I pause it, and that's the home screen. Scared the hell out of me, dude. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Texter from the 970. Who knew we had Dr. Seuss as a listener? That's awesome. Go Buffs. Talking about Flying Dutchman's little poem that he put together for the old Thursday night special. Well, we'll get back on top. You know, next week will be good. Broncos going to Kansas City. Oh, and I'm sure, Angel, yeah, we'll get to see all the Taylor Swift stuff next week. That, it's going to be on primetime. She's going to be at that game. And we're going to have to see it. I do think it's weird. Like, the NFL's like coming out to clarify why they're doing what they're doing, because there's enough fans that are getting pissed off with all the Taylor Swift stuff.
Are they advertising free advertisements?
Yeah, because that made you mad, right? That they were promoting her concert for free?
It's ridiculous. Or not even a concert, a movie. A movie about the concert that
she's in a movie then, or what? What's the movie she's in?
It's called The Eras Tour.
It's just a documentary
of her concert.
And they're promoting the hell out of it?
Yes. So that Taylor Swift in a couple of weeks will break the box office wide open, and she is now the queen of the world.
Well, I've totally changed my stance on the NFL should hire her.
Well, even Travis Kelce is like, yeah, you're overdoing it.
It's got to be annoying as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, every time she's at a game, it's just they pan over to her, and they got to talk about her for 5 seconds.
It's fine to show her once, you know, show her once at the beginning of the game. All right, Taylor Swift's here. Woohoo. We know that she's there. I don't need a referral or, you know, a re-up saying, oh, is she here? She's still here? She's still here? I don't care that much.
And all of her celebrity friends are there. So get ready, Broncos fans. We're going to have that to deal with all next week on top of Patrick Mahomes and trying to actually beat the Chiefs for the first time in 4 million years. That would be fantastic, wouldn't it? I want to shout out to one of our great sponsors, and that is the folks over at Steamway Floor to Ceiling. They've been family-owned and operated for over 35 years. They've got this 4,000-square-foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, hardwood, carpet, granite, cabinets, countertops, window treatments. You can remodel your house on a budget. They'll actually sit down and do some budget planning with you. They offer after damage restoration, smoke and odor restoration, complete structure cleaning, duct cleaning, 24-hour emergency. I mean, the list goes on and on and on as far as what Steamway Floor to Ceiling does and what they're all about. Check them out online at steamwayfloortoceiling.com. Again, steamwayfloortoceiling.com, or you can call 970-373-5601. All right, when we come back, I'll wrap up hour number two. We got Football Friday coming up. I got the picks. We're going to bounce back. We're going to be fine. Very excited about the picks coming up this afternoon. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
You know, I know a lot of us are talking about Marshawn Lynch and what he had to say on Shannon Sharpe's podcast thing, whatever it is. Bringing more to, you know, more Russell Wilson stuff up. But again, I think it just takes me back to that Super Bowl, that missed opportunity for Seattle. You know, he was talking about how that play call to not run the ball, and then Russ ended up throwing a pick, turned out to, it ended a potential dynasty for Seattle, because Lynch was even saying, hey, we win that game, we got two Super Bowls now, and maybe other guys are willing to come back on, you know, a lesser contract because they want to try to go for a third Super Bowl. That play, is that the worst Is that the worst decision ever in history of football? To not run the ball with Marshawn Lynch, who is a battering ram?
Doesn't make any sense.
Even when his even Carroll did a podcast with Richard Sherman, his explanation was like, well, we wanted to make sure we threw it on one of the downs, and we wanted to use all the downs. Well, you'd still be able to use all the downs, just run it with Marshawn. I mean, that guy did it all season. He proved that he was a battering ram. Line him up, get him behind that offensive line, chances are good things are going to happen. That's still going to go down, dude. That's going to be haunting. But you're right. Seattle would have been potentially talking about a dynasty there with Seattle.
Yeah, you keep the Legion of Boom together. Maybe Marshawn comes back for another couple of years, doesn't have a falling out with Pete Carroll. Maybe Russell gets an MVP award at some point because he's actually getting the reputation of a good quarterback with his team.
Russell's probably a no-brainer Hall of Famer at that point. That's one play. You have two Super Bowls with the numbers he has? We wouldn't be having the discussion anymore about, oh, is his Broncos career ruining his Hall of Fame status? He'd already be in because of the two Super Bowls.
Do you give Russ a lot of credit for 48?
I do. Again, that was still that defense was carrying it. But yeah, I mean, Russ was still really good. He wasn't winning them games necessarily, but he wasn't losing them games, and he was effective. I mean, I remember several of those games where he was scrambling or just making crazy plays happen that if he doesn't do those things, they're not winning. And then they absolutely just dominated. I mean, I give everybody credit for 48. Hell, I give John Fox credit for 48 because John Fox said Super Bowl crowds aren't loud. And Manning in the center couldn't hear each other and snapped it over his head. And that's how you started the Super Bowl. But yeah, I do. I think Russ on the trajectory. Now, we're hearing all these weird things about his storyline now, but his time in Seattle was pretty good overall. I mean, he has great, wonderful numbers. And if you get that Super Bowl win, he's a Hall of Famer. Speaking of old Taylor Swift, it's all over ESPN right now. What?
What now?
What? I don't know. It's just a close-up. It's Travis Kelce. It's Taylor Swift. It's a picture. Dang, man. I guess it's got us talking about it. Talking about how bad it is, how annoying it is. Texter here from Aaron. Aaron Rodgers attending the Taylor Swift concert got a lot of action through the media as well, so it's not the first time they've done it. Did Aaron Rodgers go to a Taylor? I didn't know that. No, it's not the first time they've done it, but they are really milking this, dude. They are going all in on the Taylor Swift thing.
For what? Like, I don't get it.
Ratings.
Yes.
I mean, I know why they're doing it. They're doing it because of ratings. It's just
like it would be one. Like, just keep it with the Chiefs. Stop letting it get to every other team, because now it's becoming branding for NFL teams. It's becoming their social media profile.
Please, yeah, please, Broncos, don't do that.
Stop it.
Well, you know she'll be at the game next week.
Oh yeah.
It's a Thursday night game.
Every team that's playing the Chiefs, they're playing into the Taylor Swift stuff.
And are they even that serious?
I don't know. I don't even think they're actually dating.
Oh, they're just buddies?
Yeah.
Just friends?
I think she's way out of Travis's league.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Who would want to date her? She's got like 20 ex-boyfriends.
Oh, she's out of his league, though? Meaning she's too good for him?
He's too good for her.
Oh, so she's out of his league.
Either way.
Okay.
She's okay. Not playing on Sundays.
Don't let the Swifties hear you say that.
I don't care. I'm not listening to this show. I'm listening to Heartbreak 2.0 or whatever it is.
Dixon says, who cares? About what? Taylor Swift? Who cares about what? You guys do. Chiefs fans. You guys are obsessed with Taylor Swift. Patrick, who? You have Taylor Swift. Who cares, Dixon? Your entire fan base is obsessed with Taylor Swift. Like, it's like the Chiefs didn't even exist before Swift came along.
Kelsey's mom said about her?
No.
She said that their meeting was, yeah, she was okay.
Nice.
Just okay.
Just okay. That's mom. She has the right to be a little strict there.
Well, are they going to go after her?
Maybe.
Like, oh, you didn't say Taylor Swift was perfect?
She didn't change your life and make you amazing? Dixon, who cares?
Obviously, your entire
everybody does.
Base.
I've literally got ESPN on, and they just did a whole thing on it. Your entire fan base is obsessed with Taylor
There's
Swift.
No more Kelce jerseys because the Swifties bought them all.
Yeah. And Patrick Mahomes is like secondary in all of this. 12:57 the time. Football Friday. Is it going to be a big weekend for local teams? We're going to find out. Picks are coming up soon. We'll be right back.